Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, and the phone lines are open, and thank you so much for some of the kind comments yesterday regarding the shows. And let me move forward real quick. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and I want to move forward because I've got a lot of content to cover. I want to get through all this Platonist stuff for you so that we can get back into the ratification debates. You are listening to the only show on air anywhere in the United States or the world that actually asserts a constitutional solution in getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. Bold statement, but it is true. And the number to call in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. And with that, let me kind of give you a picture of what's going on with the world as I've looked out into the news and looked into the distance from my window, from the beautiful view that I have. I still see no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what that means is it's up to us. And actually, I want to be very clear, it's not really up to us, the people. It is really up to those few leaders that happen to be in the position of your state legislators. There's 5,445 of them. And they are the ones that have the power, the position, and the ability to actually intervene in our behalf and actually call the federal government out and call for the audit and, more specifically, call their fellow states to join them. And this is why we need to get a cadre of Davids to take on this super Goliath. As I have started this new question, anybody that wants to call and talk about this, you have an opportunity to get a set of my signed books. And the question is, what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land for any type of purpose, whether that be for forest, whether that be for animals, creatures, endangered species, or even human beings, regardless of race, culture, or what have you? Where in the Constitution did the federal government get this authority from the states to do this? That's a good, long, deep discussion, and or it could be quick. Who knows? But it may be worth your call. Anyway, I have spoken about the Red Pill Expo. The dates are from the 21st to the 23rd of June. That'll be up here in Spokane in the readout area. And I will tell you that if you haven't seen the lineup, it is definitely expanded. And I've spoken to several people within the staff and they are overbooked. What they may end up doing is they may end up condensing hours or a few hours with, 15 minutes per speaker so that each person can kind of get up and give you the condensed version of what they're doing. And I have talked and mentioned, but I am not trying and I'm not pleading and begging. I've got plenty of other things to do. I'm really trying to work the solution instead of just getting in front of a bunch of people to talk because, I get talked out each day because I have all of you to talk to. And as I said, I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for your spreading the word and getting the word out that, hey, there's actually a different show that's on that actually takes a different perspective of your time. And actually the whole perspective that I try to take and the premises that I use is, as I always say, reasonable people equally seldom disagree, or equally informed seldom disagree. It's always, the problem is always that middle part. We're not always equally informed. And so I believe that I'm trying to share many of the things that I've been exposed to that I there's no doubt in my mind, these things will help you understand what and how immense the pile of evidence is that the states have all the power and all the authority, that the federal government and the Constitution was hard fast. It's a hard fast contract with clear and distinct limitations on enumerated powers only. And so I will tell you that the follow-up to that is knowledge is power, but knowledge is not power unless exercised. So by giving you this equal information and getting us into an agreement that what we have to do in moving forward is calling, getting these states to step up and do what I consider their job, as Madison and Jefferson put it during the resolutions. Anyway, what is important is getting you to act. Now you're exerting power. And the other fundamental basis or thesis that I kind of live by is the people are the fountain of political power. Therefore, the problem with our legislators and our politicians really isn't the fact that they don't necessarily know what to do. They're being tasked and pulled in so many different directions that they really can't do what they need to do. And so once I get enough people, or at least get them to recognize that they have an opportunity to lead, they have an opportunity to go into the annals of history the same as our framers did. They could be called the reframers if we wanted to brand or name them moving forward with history. But the fact is that you, the fountain of power, if everybody has the same message, to heck with these little things, focus on the big thing, kill the beast that's causing all our problems. And as soon as they do that, then we will find that our whole focus in life will change. And that has a lot to do with, you know, what we're focusing on in the news and what everybody's talking about at the water cooler, Cohen, Trump, collusion, no collusion. As I've been saying, that's really the distraction. But anyway, as I said yesterday, if there are any late comers to the Idaho table that say, hey, you know, I want to sign this commitment, then I will mention them. I'll give them my endorsement. I was trying to do videos, but with my own personal video camera, I've got a sound problem. But I have plenty of sound equipment, so I can easily create them an audio piece so that they can, one, have my endorsement, as well as they will go on my endorsement portion of my Take Action page. And May 22nd, which is just around the corner, we've got the endorsements for South Dakota and North Dakota, which is just around the corner from that, will be May 29th, the following week. And so I've already kind of reached out. And I will tell you that as I look at the race, there are not a lot of challengers in the South Dakota races, but that doesn't mean anything. A lot of those legislators are very good constitutional supporting legislators. It's just that I don't think it's ever been in their paradigm to change their focus to actually go, you know what? We never realized we could audit the Constitution. Everybody understands that the Constitution is a contract, but they never put into context that inherent within contract law is the ability of the stakeholders, which are the states, to be able to audit said contract and hold their subcontractor, i.e. the federal government, accountable for those things that they are doing that are outside the scope of the said contract. And so the parties, again, the states, have more than enough authority and power to step in. Therefore, it's a little, I hate using the word paradigm shift, but it's, let's call it a broadening of the paradigm so that they no longer have to figure out, oh, well, maybe we should appeal to the Supreme Court. No, the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction over all these, you got to remember that all these things, healthcare, school, education, or energy, and all these things are outside their jurisdiction. The states never delegated these powers. And so, anyway, I believe that a lot of these men and women, these legislators in all of these six states that I talk about, I believe a lot of them, when they actually have the, I'll use the word epiphany, but I believe that they will, you know, have the, wow, this would work. It's like that Gandalf hitting King Rohan in the head and getting him to break that spell and believing that the federal government is supreme in all things. That's what Wormtongue will say, and that's what the soothsayers will say. But it is not true. There is no evidence of that in the ratification debates or in any other founding document, such as the constitutional notes. And really, there's nothing greater than the ratification debates as far as authority and constitutionality, because again, the ratification debates, and that's why I go through them, they are the legal appendages to the Constitution. Again, in contract law, whenever you discuss a contract, when you ever get into the details, defining what this line means, what that line means, those definitions become legally binding. That is why the ratification debates are the most important documents setting aside from the Constitution, because they are attached to the Constitution. But anyway, I feel like I'm preaching a little bit, and actually it's time for some sponsors and promos. So I'm at a hard break. Please stay tuned, and I will be right back because I have a lot of things to get into. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And actually, before I get started with two basic facts getting into Platonism, what I want to do is give you, because sometimes it's important to throw this out there because it gets lost sometimes, because people wonder, where in the heck did you come up with Republic Review? That's not in the Constitution. Well, what I will also tell you is judicial review is not in the Constitution, but you understand what that is. And that is constitutional overreach by the federal court system, by the Supreme Court specifically. And so as I was sitting down with the first organization that got behind Republic Review a few years back is the Constitution Association. And the founder and the president of the organization, Douglas V. Gibbs, we were sitting down talking, and he goes, you know, what would you call this? I mean, the audit, but the audit doesn't have that constitutional, you know, it has that contract flair, but it doesn't have that constitutional flair. And obviously, what, you know, if you look at the big picture, when you get all of the stakeholders, which are the states, together, that is basically the republic. And what are they doing? They are reviewing their contract. And so Republic Review is kind of a constitutional standing that the states literally have in the contractual form of contract law of auditing. And there you go. There's the little connection for that, for those people who are wondering, because they get asked that a lot. Anyway, I do want to start off with two facts. And this is one of the things that I constantly tell politicians and I tell people that are involved in politics. The only defense we have that can save us is the Constitution. If we are using the Constitution as our shield and defense, we cannot be harmed politically. The only weapon, and again, the Constitution, not all these broad interpretations of the Constitution, what is in the Constitution and the supporting documents that define precisely what those lines mean. Okay? The only weapon that will destroy our enemies is the Constitution. Do you understand now? So the real solution is the Constitution, as people say that as a quick, you know, phrase or what have you, as a pithy quip. The fact of the matter is, all we need is the Constitution and its supporting documents. And that's one of the reasons why the ratification debates are so critical. Again, in putting it in context, the ratification debates are the documents that clearly define what almost every line and what the intent of the Constitution was. And so that's why you'll find me talking a lot about the ratification debates. I do cite the Federalist Papers, but the Federalist Papers are not contractually binding. They were good guides and they had some influence, but they were not the actual debates of what was being testified and what was being accepted by those elected to ratify the Constitution. So anyway, all right. So yesterday I was speaking about religious banks when I was going off the air. Religions, banks, corporations, and so forth. Not religious banks, but religions, banks, and corporations. And they have either willingly, in some of these cases, there have been religions, there have been banks and corporations that have willingly gone in league with the government. And I spoke about this back in the 1830s when religious leadership, way leaders, whatever you want to call them, went to Andrew Jackson and said, hey, the downturn in the economy is killing us. We can't afford to, you know, take care of all these people. You've got to put a job program together. Therefore, he created some roads programs. And he did that in contrast to his, if you remember correctly, he was asked for the Cumberland Gap or whatever it was that they wanted to basically create a constitutionality in taxing the republic for creating national roads and basically wanting to create the Department of Transportation. And he vetoed that bill because he said that those powers weren't in the Constitution. And he was literally following Madison and Monroe's leads because that's exactly what those two presidents did. So he was just kind of duplicating those guys. And he used a lot of verbosity in his veto reply. there's nothing better than Madison's. It was right to the point, and he literally cut off those mystical clauses of the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, the Supremacy Clause, as well as the General Welfare and Defense Clause within that one veto statement. And so he clearly put aside anything that the Supreme Court was trying to do. And actually, everything he said in that veto is reinforced within the ratification debates. Therefore, who's correct? A self-aggrandizing jurist that was using babblings in an opinion that can't be really considered an official document. And by the way, keep in mind that case law and precedents are not constitutional. Those were injected by the court and the jurists. Had they presented to the states during the ratification debate, oh, you know what, we're going to let the courts create these opinions and precedents, and over time, they will actually be able to insert, you know, the perspectives of new constitutionalities and be able to change what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional, ergo, in essence, not leaving everything to the states per the Article 5 process, but they have this hidden line that the Supreme Court, no, the states would have rejected the Constitution when they would have realized that there would have been an oligarchy in black that would have had the ability to make those types of constitutional changes, because the states were very jealous of any centralized government and that kind of repository of power in one body. So anyway, as I was speaking, there has been this this luring of banks and corporations to willingly and or unknowingly get involved and get in league in working with globalist Platonists and all of these bad doers that want to subjugate us and in essence trying to enslave us. And what they're trying to do is creating these oligarchies or consortiums under the protection and control of government. And really behind government is this global government apparatus of controlling our funding and controlling currencies and all of these things. And so as we look at the things that they're controlling, almost every facet within our life, such as production, pricing, consumption, and those types of things, and they are working on controlling ideas, words, and thoughts. We already see this being played in our republic today. There's already these politically correct. And I cannot believe I heard on Tucker yesterday, this woman was trying to shame that girl with a dress. And I don't want to get into the perspective, but how dare her, you know, accuse her of being guilty of appropriating a culture. Whether somebody is insensitive or not, that's not a crime. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make the perception of a crime. And that is how we start getting lured into this, oh, well, that's bad. You shouldn't even think those things. We're on a very slippery slope of letting them start controlling our ideas, words, and thoughts. The paramount objective is admitted in the master plan by Adam Weishaupt, who basically just duplicated Plato's plan. That's why I call these guys Platonists. And it was simple. They had to take control of those who controlled ideas and thoughts. That's how we got into this mess. And if you stay in tune and you listen to my Christmas show, I will be talking a lot about how we were manipulated into changing from the winter solstice, wintering and drunkenness into a holy Christmas and a holy holiday. As I've said before, Congress was actually in session on December 25th. And so why is it that it became such a holy and a high holy holiday? That is because they were able to associate and create these associations of Christianity to that that pagan holiday. And I'll tell you, it's not a bad thing, but I'm at a hard break. And so I'm going to get back into those controlling facets as soon as we get back. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors and some promos. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so what are and how are institutions controlling thought? And there are various levels to this. Obviously, one of those institutions is religion. And religion had a very hard line in Christianity. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many centuries there were lines as far as the clergy. The clergy were men. There was definitely no way that women would be able to. I mean, look at the Catholic Church. Look at all the different churches and how in the past century, because of the change of sentiment of men, all of a sudden that's kind of changed. And all of a sudden, I don't think any of these churches have received or claim they received revelation. They just basically said, okay, well, we're going to allow this to happen. It's the same thing with marriage. And it's the same thing with living together. There are all sorts of sins that have been either softened or have been marginalized or what have you. And the changing of the message has changed as well. Education, this is the number one controller of thoughts at all sorts of levels, because education both drives religion, because all religions, those who are sitting in front and preaching, they go to church, they get their certificate of clergy or what have you. So they come out of the institution of education, just like journalists, just like entertainers. Well, the most entertainers, I guess not. They don't even graduate, but they have some talent. But anyway, education drives this paradigm of open, liberal, progressive, or communist and Platonist ideologies. And it is the primary driver of controlling thought, because the words conspiracy and those types of things are woven into the information. They marginalize, they insult, and they minimalize what a true champion of the Constitution. Oh, he's a constitutionalist. I mean, even a constitutionalist is getting a bad name by these people, because they recognize, and actually, constitutionalists are their greatest threat, because we know what the facts are, and they don't want us to let that out. They really consider us, because we know that what they're trying to tell us and what they're trying to pull isn't going to hold water. And that's why I've gone to several different, and there's some good ones out there, but they are a part of a group think, because they are dependent on the federal money that comes to them, because federal money comes at all levels of education. Therefore, they have to have that state-approved message. And you will talk to anybody that is a recipient of government money, there are strings attached. Anyway, the media and in the entertainment, they absolutely drive and have, I'll just use the word, they have debased our society. Can't consider America a society of enlightenment. We have all sorts of technology and all sorts of intellectual property and so forth, but that does not mean we're an enlightened society. We've definitely been blessed and gifted with all sorts of talented people, but I cannot say that we are enlightened, because we are allowing ourselves to debase ourselves. News services are doing the same thing. Government is definitely behind all of this, and they're enforcing this, because is it not the court system that is basically telling us that we can't have Christmas nativity scenes? Your local government and all the way up to the national government is edicting these types of doctrines that have nothing to do with the Constitution. Why is it all of a sudden, and it's only been in the last couple of decades, that we see this war on Christianity, not just Christmas, but Christianity? There are also non-government organizations that are out trying to control thought and trying to manipulate us, as well as these news medias and everything else. I want to tell you this, though. Rockefeller admitted to having this control in a speech. Actually, he said it a couple of times. And what I wanted to give you is some quotes from not only David Rockefeller, but Nick Rockefeller. And Nick Rockefeller recently said, "The end goal is to get everybody chipped, to control the whole society, to have the bankers and the elite people control the world." That was Nick. David Rockefeller said this: "Some even believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it." Interesting. And then he also said this in front of the Trilateral Commission in 1991. And these are in his memoirs, by the way. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced by past centuries. And so I have a caller, and I've got somebody that wants to talk about Trump. So I have 3 minutes. What is your name, Joseph? Hello?
No, it's Jake.
I'm sorry.
Jake?
Okay, Jake, what did you want to ask me?
Well, what do you think about Trump's foreign policy with how he's dealing with the border and the building the wall?
Well, I think that there's been lots of talk by politicians that whether he hijacked the ideas or not. And I'm not one of those persons that believe we should have open borders. I believe that nations have their inherent right of protecting their people. I have locks on my doors. I have locks on my car. I protect my property and our nation, its land, its people. And resources are the property of the nation that they have a responsibility of guarding. So what is your question, though?
Well, so the caravan that came to the border.
Uh-huh.
Do you think we should let them in the country?
I think that they're taking advantage of bad policies and a bad system. I truly believe that. So I'll give you my take on this. We should get out of the UN, and we should basically extend our constitutional republic to any and every nation out there. If they want to become a state, they can apply, and they would have to go through very specific measures of adapting to our currencies, our language, banking system laws, and so forth. And in that process over, because it took territories a long time to become a state. But I truly believe that the framers, and if you read what the framers said, the inspiration that the Lord gave them, the intent was not to just keep liberty geographically pinned to North America, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you were talking about Mexico and Canada or any place.
Estonia, it doesn't matter what country they come from, what country they're in. I think any country should be able to apply, and as long as they start moving into the adaptation phase and meeting the very specific milestones, there's no reason why they can't become a part of our republic, if that makes sense.
Do you think they'll still obey Trump's decisions if not?
Well, so Trump doesn't have Trump does not. No president has the ability to legislate. They only have the ability, and their job is to constitutionally enforce the law, and that's it. Writing EOs is not within the Constitution of him being able to create regulations. Just like Obama didn't have the ability constitutionally to legislate. Presidents don't. Their job is to execute the law faithfully. And so I've got about 20 minutes or 20 seconds. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks for the time.
No, thanks for calling in. Thank you very much. And so just to close on that, as Jake's hanging up, we have very specific defined roles within the Constitution that the president is not supposed to be the omnipotent, as the framers clearly identified in the ratification debates. As I read in the ratification debates just last week, that the two legislative bodies were omnipotent powers. They were the ones that were to define what the laws were. The president's job was to enforce those laws, and the Supreme Court was to make sure it was within the jurisdiction of the Constitution or ratified treaties. I've got a hard break. I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so before Jake just called, I pointed out that David Rockefeller, speaking to the Trilateral Commission, clearly thanked the media for hiding the fact that they were controlling the narrative for 40 years. And this was in 1991, so that goes all the way back to the 50s. And I will tell you that if you read a lot of books like Jonah Greenberg's or mine and or others, you'll find that they were controlling the narrative during Rockefeller's years as well. And even Hoover started that practice. Do not think that just because Hoover was a Republican, he was a good guy. He was the guy that wrote, I believe, a biography and was brought into Wilson's administration, and he was really a progressive, deep, hardcore progressive. Keep in mind that even Calvin Coolidge was a self-admitted progressive. And when they asked him to run against FDR after his first term, Calvin Coolidge said, I may be progressive, but I don't recognize that form of progressivism. And so he said, I don't know how to manage what has kind of been taken out of the box here, or what genies they've let out of the bottle, so to speak. Anyway, so before I go on, if I've had a few callers, and in this last case, I think Jake called and hung up and called again. I'm glad he called back, but I've had a few times where people have called and they've hung up because I'm kind of going through a train of thought and I hate to just stop. The first thing you want to do is just stop and say, well, let me take this call. But I don't want to do that because then it gets breaks up my message because I want to know where I kind of left off. And so anyway, if you want to call, by all means, but give me a little bit of patience. And if you call during my break, you'll have to wait till I get back from break to answer the calls. But if you want me to post any of my sources, just hit me up with an email, Facebook, or what have you. I will post these things on my website, and I'll put them up there for a little while because the citations are important so you can find out where these things are coming from. GR does not make these things up. I don't want to make up news. I think that this whole catastrophic monstrosity that we've been witnessing over the past several decades, that has all been contrived by these globalist players, is enough of a distraction to, you know, try to have people try to chase things down. The fact is that we have to stop trying to fight and watch this calamity continue to occur. What we have to do is put our heads down. It's kind of like I talk about when you go to work in Cube City and somebody's talking over the cube and you just get pulled in, or at the water cooler, somebody's talking about the game. Those are distractions. Do you think you're being productive? Are you earning your money when you're being distracted? No. So let's focus on earning money, being productive, because if you do at work and you focus on being productive, guess what? You're not only going to get your work done, but your employer, your boss, or whomever is going to recognize the fact that you're focused, and you'll have greater opportunities in moving up that ladder and getting more responsibilities and so forth. I've never seen a person rewarded with being fired because they're more productive than other people. That just defies logic is what it does. Anyway, so they say conspiracies can't exist. We're being taught and we're being told and we're being harangued by the media. Oh, here's a conspiracy. Look up G. Edward Griffin in Wikipedia. They call him a conspiracy theorist. And is there such a thing as a conspiracy theorist? Well, I believe we can come up with some examples of conspiracies, and I can actually just isolate them to a very specific household and give you quite a few different conspiracies that had to have occurred for these things to have functioned. And that, let's start with the Clintons. That's a great household because it is a family of corruption. The Ron Brown plane crash. The fact is that Ron Brown, when he was going to come back to the United States, was going to be indicted. And if you understand the circumstances, I believe a Pittsburgh reporter actually wrote a very scathing article and exposed all of the inconsistencies of everything that we were told in that Ron Brown plane crash. What about Chinagate? There was just way too much evidence of all these things. Remember, Clinton was going to give away ports, Los Angeles, and so forth, and giving the Chinese control over our ports. And instead, they got control over the Panama Canal as well. They got, I believe, a plane manufacturing factory that was basically mothballed in Ohio. They packed that up and sent that over there. They also gave away our national secrets for our ICBM targeting and so forth, as well as nuclear fission. Remember that hard drive down in New Mexico? I mean, there was plenty of things that were just interesting coincidences. There's another C word, or maybe those were conspiracies. All the money that was being fused into, and as a matter of fact, if you look at the MSNBC timeline that Curry and Winterm presented to Congress, they actually lay out the case that Clinton was being paid off to give away our secrets so that he could maintain, you know, a little treasure trove for his presidential election. What about the Clinton campaign, the Hillary Clinton campaign with the DNC, the collusion with them or the conspiracy to ensure that she was getting all these superdelegates? What? That was a conspiracy right there, folks. What about the Clinton Foundation laundering money and bringing money in as a quid pro quo for her work at the State Department? Huh? Those are conspiracies. What about this Clinton dossier? That's a conspiracy. So you can literally go through enough history of the Clintons and find a pile of conspiracies, and then we're being told that they don't exist. The word has to exist. And as a matter of fact, sometimes parents will conspire to, you know, teach a child a lesson or to pull a prank. Usually conspiracies are done as illegal tones, but conspiring does not necessarily have to mean that it can't be done in this world. What it does mean is that people will naturally conspire, and they want you to believe that, oh, you know, even though you may conspire and there's all these little conspiracies, those, you know, there's no such thing as a grand conspiracy. Come on. You know, you can't have it both ways, right? So one cannot call these or any other conspiracies anything else than that, and especially how the deep state has deliberately protected the Clintons, as well as all these other little conspiracies, as we've seen with what happened with the Obama administration, from the Energy Department and all those little fiascos and so forth. Yet, in a way, you also have to say that the deep state has also helped Trump. I find it interesting how they've kind of gone down this path of exposing him. And, you know, remember, Clinton was impeached. He wasn't impeached for really the offenses that he should have been impeached for. He was impeached for perjury. And maybe they're going to do the same thing with Trump. And or maybe this is a play to change. Because remember, under Trump, he's gotten away with actually doing the nuclear option within the Senate of getting just a majority rule for a Supreme Court justice. And I've been on the record for not liking that, because I believe there needs to be greater barriers into getting a Supreme Court justice on board. I do believe that the progressives have created this petri dish, but I'm tired of being and supporting a party that is a party of nothing but compromise. Why is it that the Republicans are the only ones that compromise? When is it that we're going to get prayer back in school? When is it that the Bible will come back into the school system? Because the empirical data has proven by removing those things, we've created an immoral society. But we're not going to talk about those problems and these school shootings and all of those types of things. What we want to do is just control. And these problems are going to lead us to this greater form of government, as they debase us more and cause more problems. In taking control of all of these institutions, they would use the term tolerance and Christian values as tools or weapons against our society. And not only just our society, but our society mores. And they've literally attacked our founding principles as well as our founders. I'm tired of hearing people say that, oh, well, the framers were just a bunch of racists. Oh, well, you know, the framers, those guys were slave owners. They are completely taking everything out of context. You've got to understand that it takes a why is Liberia called Liberia, and why is the city in Liberia, the capital, called Monrovia? Do your history, and you will find that the framers recognized and realized what they had to do in repatriating freemen as they were leaving the ranks of the slaves here in America. And so I just don't buy into that. But I can't buy into any more time, because I am out, and what I have is no more time. I'm G.R. Mobley. This is Reclaiming the Republic, and with your help, we will reclaim the Republic. God bless, and I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much.